your mind.
First day of summer. Wherever you are in this beautiful province of ours, I hope you are enjoying some of the gorgeous sunshine. Maybe you're walking through a park. Maybe you're sending your kids out the door. Oh, that's probably already happened. Maybe you're walking back from the bus stop, listening to us on your phone. Maybe you're driving through the province. Wherever you are, happy summer. Happy first day of summer. It is not lost on me that in the last segment, I told you all to give me a call, and I forgot to give you the phone number. So it's open lines. Give me a call, 1-877-332-8255. Well, what are we talking about today? I want to know. I mean, there's a lot of things I want to know, and feel free to give me a call with whatever is on your mind. But I want to know, are you satisfied with Canada's defense spending? Is 1.37%, as defined by NATO earlier this week, of our GDP enough? Or is it, as I think, an embarrassment? Should Canada be spending 2% of our GDP on national defense? Should we at least have a plan in place by now to get to that 2%? Because we don't. That is, after all, what we committed to a decade ago along with the other NATO allies. That would mean, though, getting to that 2% would mean another $15 to $20 billion a year dedicated to defense spending in our budget. I say yes, get us to the 2%. I don't like the world we are living in. I don't like the Russian and Chinese nuclear subs that are lurking beneath our Arctic waters. I don't like the idea of relying on someone like former President Donald Trump, likely future President Donald Trump, who had this to say earlier this year to a NATO country not living up to its financial commitment should Russia decide to attack.
No, I would not protect you. In fact, I would encourage them to do whatever the hell they want. You got to pay. You got to pay your bills. And the money came flowing in.
I got a lot to say about Donald Trump, but right now, I do think that we need to be spending more on NATO. I think we need to be committing more. You might have heard my conversation yesterday on the show with an author of a book called Cold War 2.0. And he makes the argument in his book that, you know, and in other writings and in our conversation yesterday, that, you know, a big chunk of this spending, if we were to get up to that 2%, we're not talking about salaries of military personnel. We are in large part talking about investments in technology, in drones, in artificial intelligence, in drones that are driven by artificial intelligence. You know who's doing a lot of work in this space? Our neighbor south of the border. They're taking a lot of cues from Silicon Valley in building up their military capabilities. But if Donald Trump is the next president of the United States again, and he's not willing to stick up for us, what are we going to do if we are not fully equipped? So give me a call, 1-877-332-8255. And before I move to the phone lines, I just want to share a funny story. We got in this morning and Frank was just telling me off air that there was a text message that came in at the end of the show yesterday. For anybody who listened to the end of the show, you might have heard my conversation that I had with my brother Josh, who I affectionately and perhaps inadvertently referred to on air as Jaysh. And somebody texted in last night, apparently, saying, how do you spell Jaysh? I work with Jaysh, and I want to be able to refer to him like this in our correspondences. So apologies, Jaysh, J-A-S-H-E. That is how I spell it. All right, are you satisfied with Canada's defense spending? We're going to the phone lines now. Ian in Saskatoon. Ian, are you satisfied with 2%? Or are you satisfied with where we are at 1.37%? Or should we be hitting that 2% mark now? Should we at least have a plan in place by now?
I'll give you a one-word answer to the first one. No, I'm not satisfied with it. And yes, we should have a plan in place. And as much as I have many, many issues with Donald Trump, what he said, the gist of it, is right on. We need, you said something just a second ago that made me think here. When NATO calls out, or when the NATO 2% of GDP is determined, Is it including the salaries of people that we have fighting, like, along with NATO, or is it just the armaments?
I that's a good question. And I think that it is also the salaries, because part of building up our military spending, we need to be showing that we are committed to 2% in our budget. 2% of our GDP is going to national defense. And that does include the Canadian Armed Forces. And the interesting, one interesting point there, if I may, Ian, is that we have a huge recruitment problem in our Canadian Armed Forces. We are something like 15,000 military members short of where we should be. So even if we get that extra $15 to $20 billion a year, whatever amount of that would go to salaries, we don't really have the people even to be paying at this point.
Right. You know, when Prime Minister Trudeau and President Trump were sitting in the Oval Office, those two chairs side by side, and Trump turns to Trudeau and says, "Well, what are you at anyways?" And Justin, you know, kind of squeaked, you know, squirmed out his little number, and it's, "Yeah, but we're doing this and this and this." I would say that the numbers or the figures used by NATO include LAPD and all those other things.
Mm-hmm.
So Donald Trump saying, "Well, no, if you're not going to pay your bills," well, he should pay his, but that's...
Yeah. Oh, he's got bills to pay these days.
But if Canada is, we've racked up a massive, like the deficit and the debt under Trudeau have gone crazy since 2015. And we have not put the only reason that he can actually do that, he's relying on other people. We are not pulling our weight. That is my opinion. We are not pulling our weight. Everything that he wants to do, he is doing with, and just saying, "Well, okay, well, you guys pay, we're going to do all these things for our citizens," which is fine. But you got to contribute. Bottom line, you got to pull your weight.
But Ian, you don't sound happy about our deficit going up under Justin Trudeau. If Pierre Poilievre of the Conservative Party of Canada, if they form the next government, and he has said that he will put a plan in place to work toward that 2%. If he puts that plan in place and works toward it with urgency, with the urgency that I'm hearing in your voice, that deficit is going to balloon. So will you be okay with that? Because, or we're going to be taken away from things like healthcare.
But are we taking away? If we are going to spend another 15 or 20 million or billion, do we not have any companies in Canada?
Mm.
You know, maybe not building F-35s, but don't we have other technologies where we can spend that money in Canada and get the Canadian economy moving? Like, I'm not talking trickle-down economics here. But keep the money in Canada. And
I actually love what you're saying, Paul. Ian. I love what you're saying because, you know, south of the border, when we look at things like the space industry, Silicon Valley, you know, people like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos have really taken an industry that was usually dominated by, you know, NASA, and they have privatized it. And now the government is relying on them for things. So I think if we could build up our technological capabilities here in Canada, I don't know if Waterloo has the capabilities to get to where Silicon Valley is on that front. But I absolutely agree. We need to be investing in technology in Canada. We need to be building our own base. We need to get our own Elon Musks and Jeff Bezos. God help us all. But we need them building things here in Canada so that they are available. Ian, thank
you. Yep. I have to admit, the only one I can think of in Canada is Bombardier, that actually in that aerospace, and they have so many issues. But I thought there was Bombardier was given a contract that should have gone maybe to Manitoba. So there is something in Winnipeg.
Bombardier cannot be relied upon to deliver on any of their contracts.
Anyways,
all right.
I just think we need to pull our weight.
All right. Ian, I really enjoyed this conversation. We are going to stick with the phone lines coming up after the break. Continue dialing your phone, 1-877-332-8255. Art and Estevan, I see you waiting there. I appreciate it. My question to you, are you satisfied with Canada's defense spending? should we be at that 2% that we promised we would get to, along with all the other NATO countries? Or is this an embarrassment? Is this 1.3% an embarrassment? And before we go to the break, though, I'm going to throw out one more question for you. Can you even have any trust in anybody working on Parliament Hill doing a good job on national defense in this, what I would call a pretty scary geopolitical landscape, when there are whisperings? I mean, there's been some shouts about it, but we still don't have names, about parliamentarians in Ottawa right now who are essentially acting as foreign agents for governments like China and India and God knows who else. Can we even have any faith in the Liberals, the NDP, the Bloc, the Conservatives, that they will keep us safe if they even spend all of this money when there are allegations of, like I said, people who should be working for us 100% who are, you know, working a bit on the side for some of these autocratic countries? Should we know the names of those people? Whatever your thoughts are on that, give me a call. 1-877-332-8255. That's coming up after the break on The Evan Bray Show. I'm Tamara Cherry on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show. I am Tamara Cherry. In all week for the vacationing, staycationing, whatever he's doing, Evan Bray, hopefully some of what he's doing today involves the glorious sunshine sweeping across a big swath of this beautiful province today. All right, we are talking geopolitics. We are talking military defense spending. We are talking parliamentarians on Parliament Hill who are apparently acting as foreign agents for countries like China and India, and we don't know who they are. So I've got a couple questions to you. Are you satisfied with Canada's defense spending? Is our 1.37% of our GDP enough, or is it, as I argue, an embarrassment? You know, maybe you agree with me, or maybe you think, you know what, we are safe enough because we live next to one of the biggest military powerhouses in the world with the United States, and they will take care of us if those nuclear subs lurking beneath our Arctic waters from Russia and China ever decide to move in a little bit closer. Give me a call, 1-877-332-8255. This is a really hot topic on our text board, which I'm going to get to in a minute, but I know that Art in Estevan has been waiting patiently on the line. Art, what are your thoughts on our military spending?
Yes, we should increase it to 2%. Now, do people realize how close we are to nuclear war right now? They have no idea. We have Minuteman III nuclear silos about 12 miles away from Estevan. They're tipped and they're ready to roll. Now, who's promoting all this? It's Biden administration, the Democrats, Trudeau and everything, and they're giving money to NATO, or they're giving money away, like $5 billion to Ukraine.
Hold on. Are you saying they're promoting nuclear war?
Well, of course they are.
Okay, explain, but break this down for me, Art.
Us? No, Russia is not going to attack us. Russia is sitting there at the Donbass region where they're in Ukraine, and they're keep coming at them like a meat grinder. And what's happening is they keep promoting us. They want peace. They want peace. They're not going to attack us.
Hold on, Art. You're saying you wait. Art, are you saying that Russia wants peace?
Yes.
You think that Russia and Iran and North Korea and China are not just sitting back smiling? Because they are. When they hear comments like that, that is exactly what they want us to hear. That is exactly why they have the foreign interference campaigns, the misinformation, the disinformation. They want democracies to turn against their leaders.
The government should be jailed for treason.
All right.
The whole works of them.
Okay.
Listen to me.
Yep.
We're that close. People with the mainstream media, you're part of it, you keep promoting Russia, Russia, Russia. When Donald Trump comes to power, which he will end the Ukraine war overnight. Very easy. And you keep, you know, saying that he's a warmonger. What do you think we're going on now?
I'm not talking about anything about Donald Trump being a warmonger. I'm saying that Donald Trump is saying that if we don't commit 2% that we promised to commit to our military spending, he's not going to be helping us out when the Russians come for us.
I wouldn't either.
I know, but you're kind of giving some mixed messages here. So you're saying, why would he help us out when Russia attacks because we're not spending? But you're also saying Russia's not going to attack.
NATO's promoting all this stuff.
Okay.
And what's happening is, and you don't read your history very much.
Yeah, you're right. I get all my history from the text board and the callers on CJME and CKOM, Art.
Yeah, well, that's a mainstream meeting. Maybe you should look into it.
Art, I appreciate you supporting mainstream media and being a dedicated listener. I appreciate it, and I look forward to chatting again. All right, Art. Brad, let's go to Brad. Let's go to Brad in Regina. Brad, you don't think that we should be allies with Russia or anything, do you, Brad? Regina? Brad, what are you thinking today? Are you there?
I'm here.
Defense spending, where are you at today, Brad?
We haven't been spending what we need to for many decades now. And now the government's talking about maybe getting somewhere near it in 5 years. What are we going to do in the next 5 years should something happen?
I don't even think we're going to get there in 5 years. I don't think we're going to get to 2% this decade. And I don't think we're going to get to 2% ever if we don't have a plan to get there.
Exactly. But right now, we couldn't react. Our fighter aircraft are 50-year-old. Our ships are old. We don't have enough sailors to man them. I'm not sure how many could actually go to sea. Our artillery, which if you follow Ukraine, is extremely important to the military. I think we have of the M777s, the 155 millimeter guns, which are the main ones. I think we're starting with something like 37. We've given some away to Ukraine. We don't have enough artillery for our own units, nor the ammunition to train on. We have no air defense. And while we've got some good equipment, we generally either don't have enough of it or we keep it until it's obsolete. We need to be doing things now to increase our military.
So I wonder, Brad, because Jens Stoltenberg, who is the NATO Secretary General, was in Ottawa yesterday. And he got a lot of questions from reporters and during this fireside chat in front of, you know, a lot of NATO supporters about whether Canada is doing enough, whether we are ruining our reputation on the international NATO stage when it comes to our lack of military spending. And he pointed to things like the fact that Canada has increased its spending. Obviously, he would probably like us to be he would like us to be at least 2%. We're not there. But he did say, we have increased our spending and we've played a very important role in places like Afghanistan and now Iraq and Latvia and Ukraine. And you just mentioned Ukraine. So, with us sending military support to Ukraine, you know what, Brad, if you can hold on, we're going to the news right now. I do have a point here and I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. On here on 980 CJME 650 CKOM, I'm Tamara Cherry.
Summer breeze makes me feel fine. Blowing through the jasmine in my mind.
Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, we're talking military spending. Canada is still a ways away from the 2% that we committed to NATO. And I want to address something first before we go back to the phone lines. Lots of people waiting patiently there. One of the callers earlier had asked whether salaries for military members count towards expenditures for under the NATO definition. Does that count towards our 2%? Yes. So I'm reading actually from the NATO website, expenditures for even retirement pensions made directly by the government to retired military and civilian employees of military departments and for active personnel is included in the NATO defense expenditure. It says that if expenditures for operations, missions, engagements, and other activities are appropriated under the defense budget, they are included in the NATO definition. There's a lot of people on the text board who are talking about the fact that there were a lot of people, and this was in the news somewhat recently, if I recall, a lot of people who were permanent residents, maybe, or other young people who were applying into the military and who were turned away. and the conservatives have come down on the liberals for that. But I mean, needless to say, we do have a problem with our recruitment in this country also. Okay, I want to go back to Brad in Regina. Brad, you and I were just talking before the break, and something I wanted to put to you, Brad, was, you know, you had mentioned Ukraine and how we're sending weapons to Ukraine, military support to Ukraine. Jens Stoltenberg in Ottawa yesterday, that is the NATO Secretary General, he pointed to things like that, showing that, you know what, Canada is doing well in some respects. We play an important role in places like Latvia, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Ukraine now. Is that wise? Is that a wise use of our spending? Or do you not see our spending on other people's, apparently, conflicts to be a value for Canada?
I agree with the spending for Ukraine and sending equipment over. Unfortunately, we don't have enough of our own to keep our military going and give it away to Ukraine. But we have to stop Russia. The other gentleman talked about Trump would end it. He would do that by abandoning Ukraine, which essentially is appeasement. And if you follow history, that didn't work very well before the Second World War.
Yeah. I totally agree with you, Brad. All right. Thank you so much for your patience and waiting on the line, Brad. We're going to head now to James. Where are you calling from?
Saskatoon.
Okay, James in Saskatoon. What are you thinking today?
Well, I find it rather interesting that you bring up both topics. The issue of if we have treasonous MPs working in the House of Commons, and also the lack of military spending.
Yeah, I think they're very linked. I don't think that we can have trust. I don't think we can have trust in people who are going to be putting money towards our budget if we don't know if their interests are 100% for Canada or 95% Canada, 5% Russia, 98% Canada, 2% China. I want to know that they're all 100% on board. Anyway, continue, James.
And thank you for that. So then to them, I then say with the government and Justin Trudeau that this is purposeful, right? It is to allow Canadians to have an underlying lack of confidence in the institutions of government. By the fact of this being, well, we don't know. Maybe it's even Stephen Harper. Maybe it's Stephen Harper because he's got friends with Modi and he must be a bad person. Maybe it's that. And in the meantime, you know, can we question Justin Trudeau and the Chinese consulate and the Trudeau Foundation? But all of this is wrapped together, right?
Yes.
For Canadians to have a lack of confidence in the institution of government. So then we go to the lack of military spending, right? So in Canada, you have to appreciate, we are an industrial power, right? We have small town manufacturers of agricultural equipment in Saskatchewan that is the cornerstone to this. And are you telling me since 2014 we have not known or required or saw in the political landscape the necessity to improve our armament development in Canada? And so we look at all of this.
And you're talking about 2014, of course, because that is the last time Russia invaded Ukraine and annexed Crimea. And it's also around that time, I think it was 2015 or 2016, that China really started becoming a lot more aggressive in the South China Sea. All of that stuff goes together. And I agree. I spoke with an author. I don't know if you caught the conversation yesterday, the author of Cold War 2.0, James. But he was making the argument that part of the reason we're in the situation we are today is because back in 2014, 2015, 2016, we did not have regular folks like you and I banging on the doors of our parliamentarians and saying, hello, what are you doing about this?
That's not true, because I have had deep conversations, 2018, guaranteed conversations about why Canada is not purposefully ramping up its capacity. Like, look at this. You talk about how we're going to Latvia, and you're kind of giving our government, our federal government, a pass. But what happened when the United
Jens
States...
Jens Stoltenberg was yesterday. That's what I was referring to.
But what happens when the United States and the UN come to Canada and ask us to go to Haiti? What did we do? We pulled our tail in and ran the opposite direction because we don't have the capacity. Tamara, we don't a big rain, a little bit of a forest fire, and our Canadian military can't even help our own citizens, but around those around the world. And it is true. I personally have a couple of Ukrainian refugees that are thinking about trying to join the Canadian military so that they can prep before they have to go back to Ukraine at the age of 25. Now, the silly thing is, there is a waiting list of over 20,000 new Canadians that want to join the military. Yeah. It could be a construct of why our economy might be poor, that this is their only opportunity, or it could be a thanks of giving a new country that is now their homeland and wanting to serve. But regardless of either motivation, the issue that we end up having is we have a government, a federal government, led by Justin Trudeau, who is obfuscating and interfering with our development of a better military for domestic and international use.
Do you want Justin Trudeau? Would you be satisfied if Justin Trudeau came out today and said, you know what? Let's release the names. Let's release the names of the people in this document, even if it includes members of my own party, members of the NDP, members of the Bloc, and yes, members of the Conservative Party of Canada, because Pierre Poilievre doesn't know who's in that report because he refuses to read it. Do you want to see the names there? Would that give you more confidence?
No, Justin Trudeau has known for a very long time who these individuals is, and he has chosen not to do anything. Mm. So I do not want to buy into this game at all. I want to go back to drawing attention to how we as Canadians need to improve our own lot, and it is through military participation. It seems that somehow through wokeism that got thrown away, that we shouldn't be able to protect and help our fellow citizens.
Yeah, I don't know. But what I do know is, I don't know if it's wokeism. I don't really like that term because people call me woke on many issues. I am a bleeding heart on many issues. But I absolutely believe in our military spending. And I cannot help but think that as, you know, with so many things going on in the world right now, even when we think about the Middle East, I cannot help but think that the leaders of North Korea, of Russia, of China, of Iran are all sitting back and laughing at our reaction to even what is going on in the Middle East, because this is all part of their plan to turn us all against ourselves, to weaken our trust in our democratic governments so that they can inch closer and closer to us. And they are. James, I have to end it there because, go quickly because we got to go to a break.
Let me give you hope. And how I give you hope is every time the Edmonton Oilers play and we see Canadians in unison sing our national anthem, that should give you hope to the Canadian spirit that it will overcome these efforts by others who wish us bad.
I love that hope, James. And you know what? I actually finally feel like we are at a place since the pandemic where I can see the Canadian flag being raised and people singing the national anthem, that I don't automatically feel division, that I actually feel union. And I think that during the pandemic, there was great polarization and there was misuse of our Canadian flag that was, I think, eroding our democracy. But I agree. And go Oilers, go. Okay, we're continuing this conversation after the break. There's people on the line waiting patiently. I appreciate it. I'm Tamara Cherry in for Evan Bray on 980 CJME, 650 CKOM. I'm so happy you played that song. I think that's my favorite summertime song. Frank, thank you. And thanks to all our listeners out there. I'm really enjoying this thoughtful discussion about our defense spending in this country. It's funny because Damien in Saskatoon had texted into the show, has apparently heard me on radio, because I do some, I have in the past done some fill-in hosting on other radio shows, and he's apparently heard me on this Toronto radio show I've done a lot of work for, and he said that he hopes that I can have the same virtue signaling conversation next time I'm on the radio in Toronto. You know, lots of people say that they are sick of bleeding hearts, not wanting to commit to military spending. I am, admittedly, a bleeding heart on many issues. But you know what? Arguably, this is one of them, because I think that in order to take care of ourselves and in order to take care of all the people that we care about in this world and having their democracies, I do think that we need to be committing more to our military spending. All right. I want to go to Bryant and Esterhazy. Bryant, what are you feeling on military spending? Should we be doing more to get to our 2% commitment of dedicating our 2% of our GDP to defense spending, Bryant?
Well, absolutely we should. There's absolutely no reason we shouldn't be doing everything we can to get to our 2%.
What would you be, I mean, is there anything you'd be happy for us to get rid of spending on to get to that 2%? Or if Pierre Poilievre and his Conservative Party forms the next government and, you know, acts with the urgency that many callers today are expressing and gets us to that 2% and plunges our deficit even greater, plunges us even into more debt and hikes up our deficit, would you be okay with that?
Nope, not at all.
So where do you propose that we take money from to get to this 2%? Because we're talking an extra like $15 to $20 billion a year that would need to go into defense spending.
Well, didn't the feds just spend $15 to $20 to $30 billion on two battery plants to build electric vehicles batteries in Ontario? Like, that would be a start. That's the problem. You know, the feds don't have actually that many funding obligations if you look at the Constitution. Defense is one of them, and defense is one of the ones that we need to spend money on.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the feds' job to provide pharmacare. It's not the feds' job to provide dental care. It's not their job to go $30 billion over on the Trans Mountain Pipeline. Not their job to build battery plants. Not their job to give
people... I mean, wait. But on the battery plants front, climate change really is largely in the portfolio of the feds. And I don't need to know what your opinion is on climate change, Bryant. But with the battery plants, we're talking about really like one-time funding. Whereas when we're talking about getting us to 2% of our GDP to military spending, we're talking about $15 to $20 billion a year.
Well, how much is child care a year that they're going to spend?
Oh, not enough. If you ask me, as a parent of three kids who had to put them through daycare, I'll let my heart bleed any day, all day over child care spending. But Bryant, I'm afraid I have to end it there because we've got one more person who has been patiently waiting on the lines, and that is Jeff in Regina. Jeff, what are your thoughts?
Well, first off, I want to say what a fantastic job you're doing. I listen to the show every morning.
Thanks, Jeff.
Perk me up. But you know what, Miss Cherry?
Uh-oh.
I have to give a public service announcement to Mr. Art, your former caller there about Mr. Trump. Art, this is your Uncle Jeff talking to you from Regina. Let's just do a couple things. One, you're telling us that Donald Trump won't protect us if we don't pay our fair share. Pretty rich from a guy who doesn't pay his lawyers or his fees or anything like that. Two, you say he's going to end the Korea or the Ukraine war within one day? He is Putin's loyal dog, like Jagmeet Singh is Trudeau, and Putin spanked Trump more than Stormy Daniels did.
Oh, Uncle Jeff. Uncle Jeff brought Stormy Daniels into the conversation.
I love you. You're from Saskatchewan, brother. But don't drink the Kool-Aid, man.
Oh, Jeff, I love you. I love Art. I love all the people who have been calling in. Thank you so much for your call. And thank you for your support of mainstream media, which Art did not have a lot of nice things to say about. All right. We're wrapping up this call segment now, but we will be opening up the phone lines a little bit later on in the show. So keep on listening. I am Tamara Cherry filling in for Evan Bray on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.